everyone. Welcome to CNN 10. I'm Coy. Happy to be right here with you on this wonderful Wednesday. We're halfway through the week, so let's lock in and keep aiming to be a little better today than we were yesterday. Now, in previous episodes, we've discussed the ongoing war that started when Russia invaded Ukraine in February of this year. This week, Russia launched a new round of missiles against Ukraine. The more than 50 missiles largely targeted critical facilities in Kyiv, the capital city in Ukraine. This is part of Russia's increase in attacks against critical infrastructure across the country. This week, 80% of residents in Kyiv were left without water, and as of Monday, many homes and businesses were without electricity as well. One of the missile strikes hit an energy facility that powered 350,000 apartments in the capital, impacting many people who lost power. The Ukrainian government urged residents to stock up on water from shops and pumping stations after the attack. Following the attacks, emergency services in Ukraine were attempting to restore power and stabilize the situation as soon as possible, especially before the start of winter. Leaders in Kyiv were also calling on assistance from the European Union and NATO, as well as several governments. By yesterday, Ukraine had already made agreements with 12 countries to obtain nearly 1,000 units of power equipment, including generators. And this isn't the first time Ukrainian citizens haven't had access to water. Survivors of the siege in the city of Mariupol at the start of the war had to collect rainwater and melted snow for drinking. Russian President Vladimir Putin said that the recent onslaught of missiles are a response to an attack on Russia's fleet in Crimea on Saturday, which he blamed on Ukraine.
Life just got harder in Kyiv. Monday morning, 80% of the capital's water off, following a new barrage of Russian airstrikes. Spigots not used since the war began, a lifeline again, but not unexpected.
Everyone who are in Kyiv right now and they choose to stay here, they are ready for this.
It won't make you leave the city?
No, I will stay here. I didn't leave it since the war began, so why have to do it now?
Despite the long lines in some parts of the city, patients are plenty.
I think 30 minutes, my friends, in 1 hour. Maybe 2 hours, maybe 3. Maybe no water after 20 minutes.
I don't know.
But all will be okay.
Scenes like this are becoming increasingly normal across Ukraine. Government officials say that there were 10 different regions targeted Monday, 18 different sites. Among them, a hydroelectric power plant, Ukraine's biggest, in Zaporizhia. Another power gen site in Cherkasy, central Ukraine. Kharkiv's subway in the east, stilled by strikes on vital infrastructure there. And despite intercepts, 44 across the country, according to the government, groups of missiles getting through. At least three, according to this witness, near Kyiv's hydroelectric power plant. A missile flew over our house. I went to the balcony and saw the second missile and a drone, she says. Both were flying in the direction of the power plant. It's so scary when you see it. 3 weeks of targeting Ukraine's electricity network is pushing the power grid towards a tipping point. No doubt more of this to come. Nick Robertson, CNN, Kyiv, Ukraine.
10-second trivia. What is considered the most expensive object ever built? The Burj Khalifa, the Oakland Bay Bridge, the International Space Station, or the London Crossrail? With estimates over $100 billion, the football field-sized International Space Station is by far the most expensive project ever constructed. French astronaut Thomas Pesquet spent 6 months aboard the International Space Station last year. He says that experience made him realize we live in an oasis in the cosmos that we need to protect. He also says they've discovered technology that could lead to us eating the packaging that our food comes in. For today's Call to Earth segment, we're heading 248 miles high to get a view of the Earth very few people get to see.
When you look at the Earth from the space station, it's absolutely magical. It glows in blue, and it's the most beautiful scenery you could possibly imagine. When you take a step back and you see the Earth in its entirety, you understand that it's just an oasis in the cosmos. All around is nothing, no life, it's blackness, emptiness. And there's this blue ball with everything we need to sustain human life and life in general, which is absolutely fragile. And it makes you want to cherish the Earth. I'm Thomas Pesquet. I'm an astronaut for the European Space Agency. I'm coming back from my second mission to space, all on board the International Space Station. It's a permanent laboratory that orbits the Earth. Just like us on board the space station, the Earth is a spaceship, and we are its crew. It flies around the sun. It has limited resources. It has some protection means, but they can be overcome. You don't control the amount of resources that you have on board, but you have to manage them. And what you can control, the way you care about the spaceship, the way you maintain it, because you want the flight to be as long and peaceful as possible. You can see a lot of the consequences of human activities from space. Some of them climate change, some of them just plain old pollution. My first mission was in 2016, launch, 2017 landing. My second mission was 5 years later, 2021, and I could see a difference. The most visible effect is glaciers retreating year after year, mission after mission. The ice caps melting in the poles. I'm an ambassador for the Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations. During my mission on the space station, we had a lot of research done on plants because space is a harsh environment for plants. By studying plants in the environment of space, then we can study how they can resist to a drought or water scarcity. And then we can feed all those results to research being made on Earth and to create some more resistant crops, crops that will resist to climate change. We've also worked a lot on all our packaging. Just like on Earth, we're trying to limit the production, the use of plastic, the production of waste. And so we came up with edible packaging, which is just such a fantastic and simple concept. We need foam to protect everything from shocks during launch into space. So what we did is we turned that foam into food. It's like gingerbread. Now our packaging is at the same time our source of food. It reduces the need to send cargo up. It reduces the production of trash. It's brilliant. So hopefully that technology can also transfer to packaging on the ground, and then we can reduce our environmental footprint every time we go buy something in a supermarket. If we set ourselves on the right path, there's nothing we cannot do. We built that unbelievable facility in space. We're using it every day. Peaceful cooperations between countries that were not always friends. So if we can transfer that model to the way we deal with the environment, I think we'll get there. I'm optimistic for the future. If we can make a space station fly, then we can save the planet.
For today's 10 out of 10, we have a story creating a big buzz. Turns out bumblebees may be more complex than we thought. UK scientists designed an experiment that gave 45 bumblebees the choice between a clear path to food or a play area filled with wooden balls. Well, honey, the result was something to behold. The bees repeatedly chose to roll the balls around, sometimes over 100 times. Researchers believe that this shows bees found playtime rewarding. Now that's interesting. Shout out time now. Hive five to Greeley, Nebraska. Central Valley Public Schools, rise up. And I'll leave you with this today. If there's something you want out there, think about the goal. Speak about the goal. Believe you'll reach it, and you just might achieve it. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm Coy, and this is CNN 10.